Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Daled 34. This perek comes as a summation after all of the nevuot that began with the word hoy. There was a lot of focus in those nevuot on Ashur and on the time of Chizkiyahu, and many of the nevuot were not necessarily fulfilled at that time in their entirety, and were deferred and will be fulfilled during the time of the Geula Shlema, the final redemption. So the focus now shifts to that time. And now here, the Navi calls to other nations to come hear his words, since it affects them all, and they will all witness the fulfillment of the words he's to speak right now. The words Tishma ha'aretz umloa, tevel, v'chol tzetzeeha, the land and all of its inhabitants should listen, reminds us of Tehillim Perek Chaf Daled, the Shir Shel Yom for Yom Rishon for Sunday, La Hashem Ha'aretz Umloa, to Hashem is the world and all of its inhabitants, Tevel V'yoshveba, all the things, everything that is in the world. As a way of talking about everything in the land that will now acknowledge and praise Hashem. In Pasuk Bet, we're told Hashem is angry at these nations, although we're not told why until Psukim later, and what exactly it is they did wrong. And although Hashem is angry at all the nations, he's going to particularly come down pretty hard on Edom, who will be mentioned by name in Pasuk He, where before it mentioned the word Goyim, nations in plural, we then will focus in on Edom. When we hear the word goyim and the word le'umim as well, we know that they come up in the pasuk where Rivka goes to Yeshivat Shem Va'ever when she is pregnant and feels a lot of commotion inside, and she's told about the struggle that will take place between her two children, Yaakov and Esav, in the future, their perpetual fight. Shnei goyim bevitnech, you have two nations inside of you, u'shnei le'umim, and these two nations from inside of you will then separate and go their separate ways. Although it's unclear whether this nevuah is about the time of Mashiach, or maybe there was a different defeat of the country of Edom during the time of the Ashur defeat, which the Ibn Ezra seems to bring in as a possibility, we're going to focus most of our thoughts on understanding this nevuah as during the time of Acharit HaYamim and the final redemption. We know very often that the redemption of the Jewish people is linked with the destruction of Edom. Going back again to those words told to Rivka, a little bit like a seesaw. When one nation is up, the other nation is down. So when it's our time to rise up, then that means that Edom will be down, will be the bottom of the seesaw towards the ground. The word hechrimam, which is mentioned in Pasuk Bet, indicates that Hashem is sentencing them to death or treating them like chirem, something excommunicated or something that is set aside for a purpose and it can't be exchanged, it can't be changed. So when Hashem speaks and sets them aside and says they're going to be destroyed, that is something that will not be reversed. Nitznam latevach, they will be slaughtered as if they were animals. Their bodies are described as being thrown around without honor in the fields with a stench. The mountains are going to melt from the abundance of blood. The smell is going to travel to the heavens and even cause a bad smell for the stars above. And now we turn to the heavens and the stars above. V'nagolu kasefer hashamayim. The heavens are described as a scroll that is spread out with stars on it that is now going to be rolled up to allow for Hashem's sword to descend and pierce through the sky and come down on earth. This could be maybe referring to the fact that many of the nations relied on astrology to tell them about the events of the future. And on that day they're being destroyed, it's as if the stars themselves are being rolled up or being erased. V'namaku kol tzva hashamayim. The tzva hashamayim, the stars are not going to aid them anymore. And it will be apparent on this day when they are erased. And in general, we can say that the light that they experienced when they did not get punished will come to an end, and now the stars and the sun will be rolled up, and it will be dark for them. In Pasuk He, we're told that the beginning of the sword is in the sky, the sword that we spoke about from last Pasuk. Ki rivta b'shamayim charbi. Hashem will first start off the fight with the sar, with the officer, with the angel designated for Edom in the heavens. And then, Hinei al Edom Tered. And then it will descend onto the Am, onto the nation of Edom itself. Pasuk Vav focuses on Batzra, which we know was the prominent city of Edom. And again, compares killing the people to killing fatty animals. And it seems like the killing of animals is for a big korban and for a big celebration. And maybe we could extend that idea that through the destruction of Edom is where our lives of Kedusha and a more spiritual life for the Jewish people can emerge. Pasuk Chet finally mentions why Edom is being killed. They fought with Tzion. Ki yom nakam lahashem. Shnat Shilumim L'Riv Tzion. Hashem is now coming to get back at the nation for the Riv, for the fight they had with Tzion, with Yerushalayim representing the Jewish nation. Pasuk Tet sounds like Stom, a little bit of the destruction of Stom and Amora with the Gafrit near the Yam HaMelech area, which was where Edom resided. The burning there is going to be continuous. They're going to remain in a situation of churban. We're told that it's going to be something l'dor v'dor, similar in a sense to the same verbiage used in the Torah when Hashem talks about the war with Amalek that will exist for all eternity. A lot of the language in Pasuk Yud is about it being forever. Different words and phrases communicating the idea, like techerav, netzach netzachim. Because its leaders and inhabitants will be forced to leave Edom, we're then told that some night birds are going to take over. A bunch of non-kosher birds, pelicans, owls, ravens. But there won't be a real settlement because we're told vinata aleha kav tohu, ve'avnei vohu. The words tohu vavohu take us back to Bereshit Perek Aleph, what the situation of the world was like before Hashem stepped in and created anything. We can possibly view this scene as one that's symbolic, again, of those who led us to Galut. That these night birds, ones that are not kosher, these non-kosher birds that are largely known as birds of prey, are what is going to now take over the inhabitants of Edom. And that's what's going to happen to these nations in general during our future redemption. They will resort to being in the dark. They will be Ephes. They will be nothing. Pasuk Yudalit even mentions the Lilit. Achsham Hirgia Lilit. In this scene, the Lilit finds rest. Lilit, from the word Lila, could be another reference to night, to birds of night, or even possibly alluding, as Rashi says, to the Midrashic personality of the Sheda, the mother, the female shade, the mother of all demons. Either way, which either interpretation that resonates with us, we're seeing how Lilit fits in with the scene being painted of what will become of Edom. There won't be any leadership. Choreha ve'en sham lucha yikra'u, v'chol sareha yihiyu efes. Its princes will now be reduced to nothing. We're told thorns will grow adjacent to the palace, and wild grass and vegetation is going to feed those birds. With all the mention of the animals, we could possibly even see a reference to Parshat Noach in terms of some of the destruction that will take place for these nations. And we're told, like in Parshat Noach, that animals gathered in Mateva based on Hashem's instructions, male, both male and female. And here too, there's a gathering of animals that's going to take place in the land of Edom. In Pasuk Tetzayin, it says, Isha Re'uta, referencing this idea of male and female both being brought in. The pasuk opens, Dirshu me'al sefer Hashem ukru'u achat mehena lo ne'edara. Seek out the book of Hashem and read. Not one of them is missing. Which could be understood as if one were to read the list of all the non-kosher birds from Parshat Shmini, you would find that they're all mentioned here. None were missing. It's a place, the land of Edom is going to be a place where these non-kosher birds can find a place to build a nest and to set up an inhabitants. We see that Hashem, again, is gathering them all there. Ki pi Hashem hu tziva, viruho hu kibtzan. It is their nachala. Hashem is bringing them all to this place. V'hu hi pil lahen goral, v'yado chilkata lahen bakav. The land was divided up by a goral, by a lottery in the time of Yehoshua for us. And now we're using that similar language to talk about the nachala, the inheritance that will be for these animals ascribed to them by Hashem. These words also are reminiscent of the words Viruach Piv Kol Tzva'am from the Perek of Tehillim, Perek Lamed Gimel in Tehillim, that begins Ranenu Tzadikim B'Hashem, that we recite Shabbos morning in Psukei Dezimra. And we end off this Perek again with that absolute language, that definitive verbiage of what's going to become of Edom and in the end of days. The words Ad Olam and Lador Vador, that this change in our status and in the status of our oppressors, namely Edom, will be a positive and permanent one for us, and those nations will be relegated to their lands and will no longer venture into ours. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.